This is Janet Levine for the National Park Service, and this is tape two. And I've been speaking with Rose Kelly Loughlin, and I apologize for having mispronounced her last name on tape one, but it's pronounced Loughlin.
Loughlin.
Loughlin. And we're going to continue here with the story that you were telling about when you arrived in Philadelphia and you saw someone who you recognized.
We got in the trolley car when we got at Broad Street Station, and we rode one block. And on comes this young woman from home with me in Ireland. I said, I got up and I said, "Aren't you Bridget Mullen from Half Gain?" She said, "Yes, I am. On the name of God, who are you?" Well, I said, "I'm Rose Kelly from Half Gain." So she said, "Oh, you were only down height when I left." And then Lizzie said, the girl that was taking me up, she said, "Where do you live? Do you have a phone number?" So she told her, "Locust 2612. So she said, "I'll call you." And she called her, and they got together, and I knew the half of Philadelphia. Yeah, I went to one house. They took me to one house. His name was Johnny Hegarty. And they told me who, they told him who I was. And they said I was a daughter of John Killies of Gortnamoya, Garva. And he gets up off his rocking chair and he said, "There's no chair in the house good enough for a daughter of John Killies." That's the way he liked my father. So then from then on, I knew a lot of people. So Lizzie took me up to the boarding house where my cousin was, but he had moved to Detroit with Ford's Motor Company. So when we got there, she looked in, and there was nobody there but this gentleman himself. And she said, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't like the looks of this." She said, she meant there was no women around. So she said, "Would you come up with me to my cousin's in West Philadelphia?" I said, "All right, I will." Knowing them all up for 9 days in the boat, you know, and everything. So she took me up to her cousin's in West Philadelphia, and they had a beautiful house, a beautiful daughter, and he was such a gentleman. He was a park man in the park. He had the uniform, you know, in the park.
A park ranger?
In Philadelphia, huh?
A park ranger?
Yeah, something like that. And, well, anyway, they were thrilled to have me. I think they liked to have me with the daughter, you know. And so Lizzie stayed that night in that house, her cousin's house. And then she said the next morning, "Would you like to come down with me," she said, "to where I work?" She never said what their name was or anything. So I said, "Sure." So I got dressed and I went down with her to where she was working. And there was another lady there from County Donegal. She was the cook in the house. Lizzie was the waitress. And Lizzie said, Lizzie got the breakfast ready and took it up to the two old people upstairs, the man and the wife. They both had a day nurse and a night nurse. And when Lizzie went up and told them where she was and that she had a greenhorn, as they call you, there, so the lady said, "Will you bring her up till we see her?" So Lizzie come down, and this is what Lizzie said to me: "Don't put your hand out to shake hands with her," she said. "If she wants to, she'll do it." So Lizzie took me up and went up there, and I remember stopping in front. I can see the old lady sitting there and the nurse standing at her side. And she looked at me, you know, hoping that, "What is your name?" she said. I said, "Rose Kelly." She sticks out her hand and she said, "With a name like that," this is the way she said it, "with a name like that, you can stay in the guest room here as long as you want." Their name was Kelly. They weren't Catholic, but that made no difference. She was a Kelly. So, but I didn't stay, of course, you know, I wanted to get a job and so on, you know. So, then I went up, Lizzie put me on the trolley, and I went up to her cousin's that night, and I stayed there. And then it was walking distance just to the office where you could get a job. And I went and got it. I got the job right away. And I was walking back up again, and there was nobody on that street. The park fence was there, and the big iron posts all fenced in, and on this side was houses. There wasn't a soul on that place that I seen, only this one old gentleman working for Con Edison with the smoke lamps. And I was crying, I was so cold. And this old Polish man, he was standing at the smoke lamp. I was standing a little white mustache and still see him. He says, "Little girl, what are you crying about?" So I said, "I'm so cold. I'm so cold," I said. So he took me over and beat my hands over the lamp. And then there was a police car coming up, and they called the policeman to take me up. So I stayed on the running board with because I had a short distance to go. And maybe that's where I was supposed to stay anyway. So I stayed on the running board, and he took me up. And when we went a short piece, he said, "Now your name wouldn't be Kelly, would it?" An Irish brogue on him. So I said, so innocently, I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" And after that, he started laughing. After that, he took out his wallet and showed me his name was Kelly, too. So I said, "That every place Kelly." So anyway, he took me up. He took me off. He let me off, and I went into the place and there. So that lady that I got that job with took me twice to the Devon Horse Show. They had no children themselves. Their name was Elsley, Mr. and Mrs. Elsley.
How do you spell that?
I don't know. I think it's E-L. E-L. Well, I guess you could spell better than me.
Okay.
So there were two other Irish girls there. And, it was just a lovely place. So she said to Annie, the cook, they bought me uniforms. And she said to Annie, "Send Rose up, you know, I'd like to talk to her." She said, "She's such a child," she said. And So I went up the back stairs like this with my hands and feet, and she opened the door. She opened the door and laughed and then went away. And of course I was so embarrassed when I got in there. So she took my measure for my uniforms and all that kind of thing. And that was that part. So I stayed there in that place until my cousin came over. Three times she came over before I come. And she said one day I should make me the parlour maid. So then I come over to New York, and well, I did the mind children. I worked out in Long Island, and I knew a lot of the society. I worked in this house. He was a Mr. Clark. He was an attorney, and he won the case for the Metro-Golden-Mayer at that time. from the movie industry. His name was Mr. Clark. And they had a son and a daughter, Mandy and Teddy. And of course, I was minding them partly, but I did the cooking for them too. And they had a chauffeur and they had another maid there, and she used to take the girls and took the kids to the Greenvale School and drive them. And it was there that I seen Gloria Vanderbilt and Medina Hutton. And they used to come up, you know, they'd have lunch parties or things like, and all the boys was after Medina. She was so pretty, Medina Hutton. Oh, they were just nice girls, you know. You'd think they would be stuffy or anything, but they had maids with them. But they were just so nice. Gloria Vanderbilt had the most gorgeous black hair, beautiful black hair I ever seen at that time. And I used to read about her two aunts, you know. One of them used to go with the Duke of Windsor, you know. And all that, seemed being English and all that, and me in North of Ireland, I was always interested in these things. So, anyway, they were going to Greenvale School and they visited there. And then I remember after that, when I left, I watched them, you know, they kept in touch with the papers, you know, and I seen where Medina Hutton got married to a man the name of Rombo or something. He was related to the Colgate family. So.
Is that the period of time when you met the Marx Brothers chauffeur?
Was that right?
The Marx Brothers chauffeur?
Oh, no, did no. Yeah.
When was that?
No, I was working for a family the name of Baker's. I was minding young James Baker at the time. And I always went to the 11 o'clock Mass on Sunday. And I noticed this big limousine, you know, passed me by at that time of the day on Sunday, and there was many people on the streets. So this big limousine go past, and when it was empty, it would go slow, you know. And one day, it stopped. And he said, would you like me to take you to church? He knew where I was going. So I looked at him and all that. He was an old Jewish gentleman, and he was so wrinkled. I never seen anybody wrinkled, you know, like that. And he was so nice. So he said, get into the back seat and I'll take you up. He knew I was going to the Great Neck Church. He says, I drive my lady, he says, Mark's brother's mother. I take her to the synagogue, he says, every Sunday. And he showed me where the synagogue was there, and my church was there. So, I don't know how long he took me. He called me then the little Colleen. And I don't know, must have took me for over a year to church. And one day I got into the car, one Sunday, and he says, my dear lady, he says, died in that seat where you're sitting. I know, I can't forget that. And he says, she was a dear lady, he says. They said. And they took me up the shore. And then he come back. After that, another time, and I was just wondering, did he come back to say goodbye to me? Because he said, without his hand, he says, well, now, my little Colleen, he says, this is the last time I will see you. And that was the last time I seen him. And I often wondered about that. And I never seen her face until I seen a movie not long ago, and she was on that movie, and I stayed up to watch it, and I seen how the pretty woman she was. Yeah. So that's my story.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Fantastic. But that old gentleman, God rest him, if he's dead, and Everything is so good.
Now, was this before you met your husband?
Huh?
Did this happen before you met your husband?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, that all happened. No, the bakers, I was there, I think 3 years in that place. And they went away up to Boston. And this girl called me and she said, would I come up and work with her? And Irvington, the Hudson. So I went and the girl was from, that was the girl that come out with me, by the way. Her name was Annie. And this other girl was there in this house too. And her name was Kathleen. So, they were, and when I was there for a while, Annie left and Kathleen and I were working together. And Kathleen, well, she just did everything, mind the kids and everything. And she said her brother was coming out. Kathleen said her brother was coming to this country. Now, this was 1928. So he come out and he come up to where we were. And we were introduced. And nothing happened or anything for a long time. In fact, he had a pass to go to work in one of the hotels. He got it from Ireland where he was working. And he just went right in and got a job. And then we started to go out together, and I was working with Kathleen about 4 years or three, 2 or 3 years anyway at this time. So that's how I met my husband.
What was his name?
Owen Loughlin. Yeah. And it was very nice. He's very, looked like a Spaniard, had black curly hair, very good looking. Yeah. I had a picture to take with me, and Mary said, I don't take that. So, he was a very good man. I always say, I think he was the honest man in the wide world. He was so honest. He worked for Fordham then, and he worked in Manhattan College in his later years. He worked really for the Board of Education, and then he retired from there. And then he was walking, and he met one of the Jesuit priests from Fordham. And he went up and talked a while, and he worked with them, you know, with the food bit, you know, the restaurants or whatever. And then when he left that and we moved over to the west side near the Hudson, where my daughter lives now, we're out walking in Van Cortlandt Park, or he was, and we met this brother, a Christian brother from Manhattan College, from home. He's right from home with him in Ireland. So we went up and worked there. He didn't get much, you know, but just to pass the time, he got his food, and he adored them all, you know, they were so nice to him. And then when my daughter-in-law got sick, that young man's wife got sick. She died. She got sick. She had, you know, the time that them bandages, the things that they use for the menstruation. You know what you call them. She all swole up. Mm-hmm. And she died in Valley Hospital. So I mind his two daughters for 5 years back and forth. That's when I left. That's when I left Riverdale and come over to Jersey.
Why don't you tell the names of your children and the ones that are here with you today?
What are the names of my children?
Yes.
Edmund was the oldest one. He worked for the government. Mm-hmm. He got a scholarship to Regis and a scholarship to Fordham. And then he got a job, and he just went to Washington and got a job there. Mm-hmm. And he knew them all. He knew them all. He could tell you all. Mm-hmm. And so he was there 31 years in the government. And he is retired now and living in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So he had three children. Uh-huh. Patrick is the eldest. He's a college graduate. He was in the submarines for 5 years. Come out and they sent him to school for another year, a polish up or something. And he has a big position now. Janet is crazy. She teaches school. She's crazy about archaeology like me. I love that stuff. And she's living in Georgia too. And Chrissy, she was the movie queen. So she graduated from college in Virginia and went out to California. And she was working for Mr. Stone as, what was his name, Charlie Stone, or one of the movie stars, anyway, you know. Mm. And she didn't like things, you know, you see. So she just quit and went to be, not a secretary, but an accountant or something for two ladies. Yeah. So that's Chrissy. Mm. Chrissy, they always say, looks like me. But she's a circus. She's a little imp. Yeah. And so that's his three kids.
Mm-hmm. And how about your other children?
So Owen, he has two daughters. Denise is 23 now. She went to the public school in New Jersey. And she went to Gettysburg. She graduated from Gettysburg. And she's a smart one. And her and three other girls went to Atlanta. She's a big position. And she's only there about 5 months and she's got a promotion. She can speak Spanish and French, just like a native.
Wonderful.
And she's the only one there that can speak. So, but Tracy now graduated, she went 1 year just to college, and she's been working in nursery from all that 5 years now, I guess, maybe four years. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're beautiful girls, very pretty. And of course I'm like their mother, you know, they call me sometimes twice and three times a week, and Grandma, I need a hug. So that's the story of them.
And your daughter?
Oh, Mary. Mary's a sweetheart. Mary went a couple of years to Fordham University, and she was a professional? She was a secretary in Colgate's. For 15 years. She has arthritis now. But they loved her and we went down that day, and I went down with her to get the job. And we went in, and I remember it was a Wednesday. And we walked in. Mary, she was a very pretty girl, Mary, when she was 18, you know, and 19. And she walked in and she went to the head boss, but she didn't know she was the head. So he never asked her for a reference or anything. He said, "Can you start work tomorrow, Mary?" Oh, God. So she said, "Sure I can." And started to work. She went down the next day and got her job. I never heard no word about reference or anything else. They went to the private schools, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she met this man that she always talks about him, how good he was, you know. And she worked with him for years. And then on her hands, you know, the typing and all that. So she retired, and she gets Social Security, you know. She gets the benefits, you know, Social Security. And she had quite a lot of, I saved all her money. She didn't know I saved her money, but I saved it all and give it back there. But she met, before this, though, of course, before she retired, we were over in Ireland. My cousin and her cousin, of course, is married to her husband's brother. And she went over as her bridesmaid there to Ireland. And she met the best man with a brother, and they got married. He was working in England, and he sent for her. And
And we should mention that your son Owen and your daughter Mary are here today.
Yeah, that's
with
it.
Us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else? I mean, when you think about coming here as a young woman,
yeah,
and spending the rest of your life in this country, are there things that you would say you've retained about being Irish, about coming here from Ireland and living out your life here? But are there certain qualities that you have that you consider to be...
Well, you know, the way I look at it, there's certain people, you know, you can be from a family, and you're different from the family too, you know.
Yes.
I was kind of always picked in the family. For people like, for instance, my school teacher and our schoolmistress, she'd have me over there for the weekend, mm-hmm, and she didn't ask the others. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things, you know.
Why do you think you've been so fortunate in so many ways?
Yeah, I don't know. I went to this place. There were Protestant family. This is Ireland now. And they were well-to-do because they had two servant boys there. And she just liked me. I think I made fun for them. Now, when I was in that house, that's the first experience I had with working out anywhere from home. And they had a Victrola and all that. So it was in a closet. And one day she was out, I takes it out and puts it on the table. And so when they come in, I was playing Harry Louder. As loud as you please. And then another time I had on the music, you know, a polka, and she come in, and this was my lady boss. I grabbed her and we danced the polka. That, I think, I made fun, I think, you know. I think that was it. Because then when my mother wanted me home, because I embroidered, and my sister Bridget knew I liked the place, and she went, and they didn't like her at all. Yeah. They didn't. She completely... When we would go out to do something, that lady herself would take, if I was going out with a bucket of water, a can of water, she'd walk beside me and take it. And when she would go out for serving tea to the men and her husband and all that, she'd take me with her. Mm-hmm. And all that. And I don't know, I was just a companion, or I was always maybe I was silly.
Maybe you were what?
Maybe I was silly, I said, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was asked every place, I really was. And there were 7 Protestant houses, families, where we lived. My father, we had I think we had about the best farm in the place. But I was in every house. And them men, when they'd go to the town, or the women, they'd bring candy, and bring me home candy. And I don't know, I just I never could figure it, you know. I think maybe that was my father's favorite. And my father said I was like his Aunt Rose. Yeah. So here's a joke. My Aunt Rose was a very pretty girl. And she had every color of suit, only a velvet. She wanted a velvet suit. So, of course, I kept it up. I said, I'm going to get a velvet suit, too. You know, yeah, I got a velvet suit. So, but I never seen Aunt Rose. But she eloped with somebody. They were trying to marry her to someone else, but she eloped with the one she loved.
Let's pause here. We need to turn the tape over one last time.
Yeah.
Okay, we're now on side two of tape two. Uh-huh. And I'm speaking with Rose Kelly Laughlin.
Yeah.
And I want to, you were talking about that you seem to take after your Aunt Rose, although you never met your Aunt Rose.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I mean, well, let's talk about this time in your life.
Oh, no.
You're in your 90s now.
Yeah.
What is this phase of life like for you?
Well, I was taking care of my husband, you know. We lived there in 20 Garbers here. We were there 24 years in that apartment. And that's when I was minding my son's two girls. That's part of it. And, of course, they would come over then and stay with me. But I stayed over in their house and mind them. And they never seemed to miss their mother much, you know, because... And they would say to me at night, Grandma, tell us to go to sleep the way you used to do in Ireland. And I'd say to them, come on now, go to sleep there, girls. I'm going to spike it. I'd put on a good brogue, you know. And then they'd giggle and laugh and everything. And they were so happy. They always talk about... the drive was like a hill and come down. And when I'd give them their supper at night, we'd go up to the top of that hill. And I was 20 years younger then. And we'd come down, you know, heaven on that. And... And then, of course, they had their homework to do. But we had a cat. And they called her... Yeah. God, what does they call that cat? Grey. Anyway, that cat, when I'd be raking the leaves, that cat would follow me. When I'd bare a space of the leaves, she'd come over, move every time to get closer to me. And when she would go out at night, she would come to the back door. She would get up in the wire, and they had a little black railing at the back door, and then the wonder was there. She'd get up there and tap the wonder with her foot to get in. Shadow. That was her name, Shadow. Every morning when the girls would go to school to go up to get the bus, she walked them up. I walked them up too, but she walked with us. And when she knew the time that they'd be coming home, she went up to the top of the hill and lay there and walked down between the two of them. You think I'm making this up? It's the honest to God's truth. And that... if I was home in my own place and come back again, she would crawl up and get on my knee, on my lap, the cat. And then I would rub her and pat her for a while and she'd go down. I think when you feed them, you know, they always cling to you like that. So, she was 15 years old. And then one day I said, now, when she's coming down the stairs, she only can use the two front feet. And I said that you'd be doing an act of charity if you'd take that cat and get her put away. So the two of them did. And they carried her in their arms. They went out in the car and carried her in the arms and left her down on the table and shed a couple of tears and said, goodbye, Shada. And you know, she says, meow. Honest to God. They told me this and I come home. And the man put her to sleep.
Wow. Well, so. do you think back over your life more now than
yes,
you did
yes,
before?
I think back on all the things I told you, and mm-hmm. I laugh at some things, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody was so nice. I think, you know, how nice these people were. I met a lady they called, she was Mrs. Moxham. Her name was Eleanor DuPont. She was the nicest. I cooked one day 8 chickens, and her and I cleaned them off. They had a yacht out on Long Island Sound. And we cleaned them off, and I said to her, when we were mixing them up, we made potato salad and tomatoes, we made big basins of salads. And I said to her, my wrists are very thin. I said, I like to mix with my hands. So this is what I said, wait till I wash my paws. So she was laughing. So she said, all right, Rhoda, you wash your paws. And so I started to mix in everything in my hand. Well, we took that out to the yacht, and I went out, and there was 2 other girls there, and she never took them out. And I went out in the yacht, to the yacht with them, and she made a sandwich. There was a count there from England. He had a monarchy on him, and she made a sandwich herself and put 4 big toothpicks sticking up on it, and I was supposed to give them to him. So they knew him, you know, so well. So, of course, I put this on the plate and goes over slyly and he looks at it, you know. Is that for me? Yeah. And he took it and left it down. I'll get you later, he says. So, of course, made a laugh, you know. And then when they had the ripple glass, you never hear that? Did you ever hear the ripple glass?
I'm not sure.
It's a glass, you know, when they make holes down in it, like here, and all that. And when you drink out of it, it runs down your glass. So I was the one always picked to do these tricks, you know. So I did that too to another one of them that same day I was out there. Well, anyway. It was nice, you know, and I always think of her, you know, she was so ready to make a joke. But Mrs. Baker, I'll tell you too, another thing about Mrs. Baker, she was Spanish. She loved her husband so much. He was English descent. That lady cleaned his shoes, and she always, I never seen a shoe that was soiled and along his closet. She took out his clothes to the cleaners, and there's nothing, only Mikey Darling all the time with it. Oh, she just loves them, and they were such a nice, and I called their house the little love nest. Yeah, it was so nice. And they took me every place, the beaches and everywhere mm-hmm. with them, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was minding their son, you know. I was minding Jimmy, and he was a wild kid. But, so that was that. That was them 2 ladies I just adored. They were so nice. Well, I liked them all. But they had such a sense of humor, you know. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Baker would be upstairs, and she knew all the Irish songs. And she'd be singing My Wild Irish Rose and Kathleen McBurney, and I would sing them downstairs. We were half crazy. But she was, Jimmy used to say, the boy that I was minding, I have the 2 prettiest girls on the block, his mother and me, he said. So that was a compliment. And then there was a family, the McGowans, and she was the daughter of I forget her name was, but her name, she was married to a man, the name of Mr. McGowan, I call him. Her father was the president of the Canadian Railroad, and she was married to Mr. McGowan. Little Eleanor, they had a son and daughter, and little Eleanor always come over to me every day when she'd come from school. And they were used to talk, and she was so crazy about her dad. My daddy, my daddy. I said, your daddy's not coming home. This is me. Your daddy's not coming home, I says, tonight at 7 o'clock. And she said, yes, he is. He always does. And I says, he called me up and called here, I says, and told me he wouldn't be able to make it tonight. And that was all. I didn't remember no more about it. She went home and told her mother. And here there's Mr. McGrown, was a gentleman on Wall Street. So the next day I was out with the kids, with Jimmy, and they were there playing too, and they're all around. And Mrs. McGowan herself was knitting down on the chair, and he was washing his car. So she says to me, Rose, come over here. So she said, why did you tell Eleanor about my husband wasn't coming home? You know, and I was so thunderstruck, and he looks at me and winks and laughs, and that was it. That was all there was to it.
Yeah.
It was how it comes back to you, you know. So I wonder where Eleanor is now. She was such a beautiful child, and she was 9 years old that time, uh-huh. Eleanor.
Well, is there any...
That was in Great Neck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is there any advice that you would have to give to somebody who was immigrating to this country now?
Yeah. Well, just be honest and be clean. And whenever you start something, finish it. And always be nice to the children. You know, and that's all people expect of you. You know, you go in to do a job. That's the way I looked at it. You go in to do a job and you do it. And if you don't know how to do it, ask them and they'll tell you. So, we were pretty well brought up. My mother was a great worker. Mm-hmm. And we knew how to do a lot of things. We knew how to wash wools and woolen sweaters, and I was a good knitter, and I could embroider. When the kids were small, when children were small out here, I could put the bows on their caps. I knit them caps. Mm-hmm. I knit them sweaters, mm-hmm. to the people I work for. Another thing I did was this lady, Mrs. Clark. She had an Irish woman knitter, a knit suit. She wanted a knit suit, but she got sick and she couldn't finish it. And I took it and finished the skirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the things, you know, that I think you might say endears you to them, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about the part of you that's American and the part of you that's Irish? How do you...
The part of me is Irish?
Yeah. How do you think about that?
Well, I think I'm more American now. I do things more American ways, you know. But it seemed very easy for me to get into the ways of anything, you know. I could see you doing something and say, well, I could, I'll try it too, you know. Things like that. Mm-hmm. And when I would work in the kitchen, the ladies always loved to come into the kitchen because I had flowers, I had plants, I could grow plants. I used to do the altar at home and I could grow plants. Me, I have 11 plants in my own house. And where my sister-in-law would have them, let them die, mine never died. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just
it sounds like you were like your father, who could do
everything.
That's
just my ways.
Yeah.
That's what I was watching a mason. His name was Tom O'Connell, and he was built my cousin's house for him. And he said to me one day, "Come on out and look at this rose," he says. "If you're a daughter of your father's," he says, "you'll tell me what I'm doing wrong." That's right. That's what he said. Yeah.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to say before we close? Is there anything else that maybe we haven't talked about, or anything you'd like to say about coming to this country or whatever?
Yeah. I enjoyed every minute I was in this country. I enjoyed, and I knew as soon as I put my foot in the country, I knew what I'd be doing, you know, because I didn't have the education. I knew I'd be minding children or something like that. Anything else in the domestic lane, I think I could do it, you know. And I always worked for somebody that had more than myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I would work, that's why I worked with the rich, the society, you know. And I seemed to fit in, you know. I don't know. I was well-reared. We were poor, you know. But we got everything we need, nice clothes and everything. And I just seemed to know where I fit it in. And I was liked every place I went. And I can go back to a lot of, when I would leave a place, they're going away anywhere. Rose, the guest room is yours anytime you want it. I never met, the American people are fabulous. Honest to God, they're just fabulous. They're kind. I never bought a sweater or underwear while I worked with those people. There was one lady that went away to the Catskills one time, two sisters that went away, and she knew I had lost my umbrella. So she bought me an umbrella and a note on it to a little girl that lost her umbrella. Yeah. And no, the American people, I love America. I just love it. I love everybody I meet. And now I'm in Jersey. The people are so darn nice. There's every one of us. One. I go to the store. I go to the Grand Union, and one of the managers, she's an Irish lady, she's there for years. She comes over and gives me a hug.
Well, I'm sure people feel the same about you as you feel about them. I want to thank you very, very much. This has been most pleasurable. I'm so happy you were able to come today.
Yeah.
I've been speaking with Rose Kelly Laughlin, who came from Northern Ireland in 1925 when she was 21 years of age.
Right.
And today is April 30th, 1995. Mrs. Laughlin is 91 years old at the time of this interview. We're at the Ellis Island studio, and this is Janet Levine, and I'm signing off.